For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hugh Douglas, JoJo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Back to all the phone calls here on the Phils. We've uncovered something serious here. Andrew Painter has to continue going by Andy. That's the name if he wants to win Cy Youngs. We'll get to that. Were you bothered yesterday by the Phillies and that press conference? And, of course, there's so much Eagles going on here that we need to bring on our weekly guest, Seth Joyner. He's coming up with us right now, Kyle.
Yeah, and Seth is sponsored by Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook, pre- and post-game with Seth Joyner at Parks Casino for every Birds game all season. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seth, how you doing today?
Seth!
Always good, fellas. What's happening?
Well, Seth, it's been an interesting week around here.
The Eagles, a lot going on.
Yeah,
man.
It is. The Eagles got a win, but obviously we've spent a lot of time discussing the stuff not to do with the game. That's Nick Sirianni. Seth, what did you make of Sirianni Sunday? And then obviously you apologize after, but just, you know, we know what he's a coach that has a lot of energy. He's unique, but that was different on what we saw on Sunday. What did you make of it and what he did on Sunday?
You know, I had Ike on my podcast last night, and I posed this question to him, and I think I may have posed it to Hugh the other day, you know, when we crossed paths Monday morning. I said, you know, if somebody came in the studio, Joe, and they said to you, and they sat across from you for an entire day, fire Joe Giglio, Joe Giglio ain't bleak. You know, at some point in time, the ego inside of you, the pride inside of you is going to say something. You can't hold that in. Hugh, it's like, you know, when that guy do something to you after the whistle and you know that if you retaliate, you're going to get a flag.
Mm-hmm.
But your pride just won't let you walk away and you do it and get it. And then
pride is a mofo. Pride is a mofo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I just want to throw that out there, you know, to all the listeners that say he need to act a little more professional. I'm not condoning. I'm not defending. I'm just saying consider it, you know.
That's why this is why me and Seth get along, because we're like minded,
kindred spirits. So Seth, I think it's fair. I think it's a fair thing to bring up. But doesn't he have to, though? Even though it's hard, he's the leader. So I think of this. So a couple weeks ago, they were in New Orleans. Jalen Carter was pretty heated on the sideline. He's an emotional player. The Eagles have a good amount of emotional players. A lot of them are good players, like obviously Jalen. And Sirianni tried to calm him down. Seth, do you think it's hard for the coach to try to calm down a player if the player sees the coach doing the same thing?
Well, you know, we're a hell of a lot more mature and reasonable when it comes to things like this, because we can look at it from the outside and look in and say, well, you know, that's like a parent. Do what I say, do what I tell you to do, not what you see me do.
Right.
So we understand that. But as players, the majority of them are mature enough to really even look at it in that way and see the difference. Maybe some of them are. But you're 100% correct. Like I said, I'm not condoning it, and I'm not defending them either. But I'm just saying that sometimes your emotions, and as a head coach, yes, you have to be the even keel one. Are you ever going to see Andy Reid do that? You ever going to see Bill Belichick do that? You ever going to see any of the great coaches, you know, of the past ever do that? Absolutely not, you know, because they're mature enough to just walk away and walk to the tunnel and go on about their business. But not everybody, you know, is built that way. Not everybody's built to play in Philly, and not everybody's built to coach in Philly. It ain't easy playing and coaching here, man.
I just want to say, Steph, I want to tell Joe, I haven't talked to Seth. I'm not telling Seth to say this, but I...
Kindred spirits. Hey,
no, but I said that the other day, Seth. I said that it's hard to play here, and there's only a certain amount of people that have played here that have thrived here. And it's not for the faint of heart. It really isn't. It's not for the faint of heart.
Well, I heard your comment the other day about him cutting his hair off before the game and what might have been going on and transpiring. Man, I'm telling you, man, I just – people on the outside just don't understand the pressure and what goes along with being with coaching in this city, the expectations that go along with it, so on and so forth. And listen, he was up under it, man.
he's still up under it.
That was 100% release of everything that was going on over a 3-4 week span that he was dealing with. We got to win. Exhale. He didn't give a damn about, you know, how close the game was, what the expectations
was.
He got the W, and he could exhale for a minute.
Yeah, until next week, till we go to what's it, MetLife Sunday.
Everybody worrying about them little G-men, man.
I tell you what, though, but I Seth, they better win Sunday, and it better. This is the thing, and me and Joe talked about this too. It has to be. I'm not gonna say it has to be a blowout, but it has to be more convincing than it was last week.
You know, listen, this is my thing, and I say it all the time. There's 1,696 players in the NFL. They ain't no bad teams. They're just poorly run organizations and poorly coached organizations, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They got some good players up there. I watched Brian Burns.
Yeah, they got
the
a good
night.
Defense.
Good Lord, man.
They got some defensive players.
It ain't going to be no easy task. And, you know, Daniel Jones is the type of quarterback, you better put some pressure on him, because if you sit back there and you let him get in the rhythm, you let him get comfortable, he can make some throws. He makes some dumb decisions sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But it ain't going to be no easy game, man. There ain't no such thing as easy games. And this is where, you know, the fan base, the media, everybody kind of gets caught up. It's hard to win games in the National Football League. You know, sometimes you're going to beat the brakes off a team. Sometimes you're going to just barely get by. And listen, they ain't setting them lines in Vegas for you to win. They know exactly what they're doing. When the Eagles threw that long ball to A.J. Brown the other day, everybody was hoping they was going to at least kick a field goal so we would cover. Nope, you got a four.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Six-point victory. There's more going on behind the scenes than meet the eye. There's a whole lot of money at stake. I'm just going to leave it right there. I ain't no conspiracy theorist.
Seth, let's talk about the one aspect of the game Sunday that did seem like it was an improvement and it was good. It was the defense. They played well, held them to 9 points. Obviously, they scored 7, the Browns, on the touchdown on special teams. When you watched it, did you feel like we really turned a corner defensively, or was a lot of that or some of it because the Browns are just having so many issues on their offensive side and with their quarterback? How good was the defense Sunday in your eyes?
Well, two things, Joe. I'm trying to decipher whether the game plan was as aggressive as it is because of the anemic Cleveland Brown offense and their quarterback, Deshaun Watson, or is this going to be their identity? Because we were aggressive week one against the Packers. We came back against the Falcons, not so aggressive. We came back, beat the Saints. Nobody thought they had a chance of winning. Aggressively, they won the game. Defense just showed out. And we thought that was going to be the launching point, you know, for the defense. They go down to Tampa, passive again, get the doors blown off of them. They come back this week, you know, very aggressive. So who are you going to be? Who are you going to be based upon? Is it based upon who you're playing, or that's just going to be your personality? Only time will tell in the next couple of weeks who they definitively are going to be. An aggressive defense is going to press you at the line of scrimmage. It's going to bring pressure. You know, I give Vic a lot of credit. I saw a lot of things that he ran this past week that I haven't seen in his repertoire before. I don't know, Joe. I don't know who they are yet. I think they're still trying to figure out after 5 games who the heck they are. But what I do know is that I live on the side of being more aggressive than not. You know, this team is one of the worst teams in the National Football League defensively at creating turnovers, forcing turnovers. You can only force turnovers when you're aggressive. That means you're forcing and you're pushing the action. When you're always passive and you're sitting back, the offense just ain't going to give you the ball because you want it. You got to go and take it. That's why it's called a forced turnover. So I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know who they are yet. And, you know, I'm hoping that this is going to be the launching point that we expected after the Saints game for both the offense and the defense. But they kind of looked like they exhaled a little bit against Tampa and got taken out to the woodshed, especially defensively. Hopefully they've learned their lesson at that level against the Saints. And what we saw defensively last week against the Browns is what they're going to have to bring to the table every single Sunday.
Seth, a lot of conversation this week on how the offense looks, just with your eyes, similar to last year, even though Kellen Moore is here, and trying to figure out why that is. Yesterday, Kellen Moore said that they use Jalen Moore in the shotgun because he's a runner, and it's better to use him that way there in the shotgun. They're not under center. Kellen Moore's pass stops, especially Dallas, Dak was under center a lot. What do you make of this? Because I thought it would look more like Kellen Moore's old offenses. It doesn't really so far.
Well, we had these conversations, you know, a couple of weeks ago. You know, it was revealed that Nick Sirianni was, you know, delving into the play calling. I still think that this is his offense. I think when you look at pass charts and you see the, you know, where the routes are dispersed, that it's still the same. Everything is outside the numbers. They don't utilize the middle of the field. That was a flaw with the offense last year. You know, third down situations, especially right before the half, you got third and one, zero blitz coming. You got A.J. Brown lined up to the quarterback's left, one-on-one with a DB that's playing 8 yards off the ball. Now, any other quarterback in the National Football League, or experienced quarterback, I should say, would have raised up and just thrown his number one receiver the ball in that scenario. And, you know, he would have got a first down, maybe made the DB miss the tackle and off to the races, potentially for a touchdown right before the half. No, what do we do? And I get it. Saquon's got to pick up that block. And if he does, Devontae's probably going to score a touchdown on that post route. But we don't take the easy stuff. You know it's zero blitz. And you know you're only going to have a split second to get the ball out of your hand. But we get greedy sometimes. And that greedy turned into a sack, a blocked field goal, and a 10 to 14 point swing in a game that the Eagles either should have been up 13 to nothing or 13 to 3 or 17 to 3 going in at half. Instead, you go in 10 to 10. So, you're preaching to the choir when you talk about what I think about what this offense looks like. This offense looks a lot like it did last year. Not only, you know, from a visual standpoint, but from a philosophical standpoint and what they believe that they should be doing against blitz coverage. No, you take the short stuff. You convert the first down and you keep going. You had two timeouts left. There was no reason for you to try to wait and get greedy and throw the ball downfield when you had the layup right there to the left. I don't understand. And people will be like, well, oh, that's Jalen and his decision-making. No, he's being coached to play that way. That's the organizational philosophy. That's the head coach's philosophy. And that's what's being imprinted and put upon the mind of the quarterback. He is thinking that way. Because Aaron Rodgers would have looked to the left and seen that guy off the ball. Patrick Mahomes would have looked to the left and seen that guy off the ball. Every other good, great quarterback in the National Football League would have raised up and threw that ball to A.J. every day and twice on days to end in Y.
Yeah, no, you're right. It led to a big swing in that game, keeping it close. Seth, we appreciate it as always. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk next time, hopefully after a win. Thank you, Seth.
Have a good one.
You got it, guys. Go Birds.
There Peace. We go. Seth Joyner there. That was interesting stuff on the offense. He doesn't believe this is really Kellen Moore's offense.
You know what's funny?
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.